have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
The Orange Crusher got a lot! It's the Frank Williams Show!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here, alongside Josh and Johnny, with a special off-season edition of the boardroom. It's the off-season. I know you're laughing as if retention season and portal season is an off-season. If ball not go in hoop, me not think it's season. I know it's very simple, but I missed you boys, and I missed talking about Illini hoops, so figured we'd get together here for the first of this off-season episode. Now, I know everyone's probably dying to talk about retention and portal and signings and commitments and decommitments, but the three of us were chatting before we hit record, and we were kind of all in agreement of we're not done kind of processing or talking about this season, fellas. I mean, it was 15 days ago, the Final Four at the time of this recording. Now that the dust has kind of settled, I think I know that there's a lot more like time to kind of exhale and process and reflect upon this experience of what this season was. I don't know about you guys, despite the fact that we were obviously very, 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 very sad after. As the dust settles, the dust clears, I've had nothing but so much fun the last couple of weeks reflecting on this season. So enjoyable. So excited to just think about Illinois basketball this summer. We're not done talking about this season yet.
Yeah, not one bit. It was an awesome season. I would say I wasn't having fun like through Monday, let's say, after the Final Four, like when Michigan's winning the national championship, as we called on our podcast. I mean, that wasn't like it was a shocking thing, but more of just like, yes, the worst outcome possible happened. And I wasn't ready to move on to the transfer portal season whatsoever. I look back at did an analysis of every single game, like what were my emotions after each game through the entire season. And then you get to the tournament and you're like, oh, that was awesome. Oh, that was awesome. Oh, that was awesome. And then the videos after the, for us to make to the Sweet 16, for us to get to the Elite Eight, for us to get to the Final Four. I mean, those are just great memories that I know that I'm glad we captured them on recording our podcast, but also like on video as well. And they were just very, it's like, surreal. Like I've watched the video of us celebrating at Finley Dunn's, like to get to the Final Four. And like, you would have honestly thought that we won the national championship based on our reactions. And to be honest, like, it still feels like we did, even though we lost in the first game of the Final Four.
Feels like we won it all. I don't know. Feels like
but,
it.
But for it to move, and like, I know it's people's jobs, and it's like you have to make these decisions so quickly. The college calendar is so screwed up. And I know it's the calendar is built by the coaches, kind of like with consultation in the coaches, but I just can't imagine being like Brad, Dan Hurley, or like the, oh my God, I'm forgetting, Dusty May, or like, just, you have to go, you lose your game, or even you win your national championship and you're entering portal season that night after the national championship. It's crazy. Like, I can't imagine, like, as fans, we're having a hard time moving on from the season. I can't imagine as coaches moving on from the end of the season. I know for every other school, they had like a full week to prepare for the portal to open. But for us, it's like, hey, we just had our most emotional game of like the last 21 years. And now we have to start thinking about, oh, is Jake Davis returning? Oh, is Thomas Lavicic returning? And it's like, I can't do that. And I think for the most part, our reporters did a great job of not getting into the faces of players. There was a few like clips of, hey, are you coming back next year? But I was not ready to move on, and just so sad. Now that we're on the other side of it, it's obviously happy where we are, but like, it's just so sad that we have to like think about next season when this season was just so awesome.
And that is the beauty though of the retention, is that it leaves such a sweet taste in your mouth because no one left. And because you're like, wow, these guys really did seem like they were having the best time ever and really liked each other and being members of the University of Illinois. And it feels like that crystallized with everyone coming back. So now it's even more fun to reflect back, as opposed to like you look back at 2025 and you're like, oh, well, Marez was on that team. Like,
yeah,
it's a little bit of a different feeling. But I totally agree with you guys. It's hard to move on. I've also just had the hangover of like, I want to watch this team play again. Like, are there more games that I missed that I would be able to watch this team? Like, I would like to see Keaton Wagler on the floor with these guys again.
Are you watching? Did you watch Kylan in that pit tournament? I'm like scrounging. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Oh, Kylan.
Yes.
Buzzer beater. I'm like any footage I can get of it. I'm just itching for it.
Yes. Why is Kylan playing in a game where one of the teams is like Bob's lawn mowing? Like,
I was so confused. Yes. I thought it was like some AI shit. I was so confused. It's kind of like the Reese's East West Bowl, I suppose, for basketball. But I saw that on Twitter. I'm like, am I having a fever dream here?
Yeah, it looked a little fake, but could not agree more with you guys. It's been so fun to reflect back on the season and reflect back on like, wow, think about a little over a month ago, we lost that game in the Big Ten tournament to Wisconsin, right? And we were fuming, another overtime loss, another game where we had it and then let it run away from us. And we're thinking like, oh man, is this team going to lose in the round of 32 again? Is this just going to be our legacy and like the Brad Underwood? This is what's going to hang over our team's head again. And then we win four straight games, make the Final Four. Wisconsin loses to High Point. And now, obviously, there's the whole like, then their best player, John Blackwell, transfers, as opposed to we keep everyone. And we don't need to get into whether or not John Blackwell is going to come to Illinois. But those teams were so similar this year. Wisconsin went 14-6 in the Big Ten. We went 15-5, and they beat us twice. And their season is going to be so forgettable. And their season is going to be remembered as, wow, they lost a High Point. And we're going to be like, we made it to the Final Four. It was great.
And Wisconsin beat Michigan.
They did.
To beat the eventual national champions. They beat Michigan, too. Like, they had they in the world of silly banner raisings, they get the, like, awesome,
they won
regular season resume champions right there. Like,
they won three games against Final Four teams. No other school can say that. No, it's absolutely crazy. I'm gonna do something that most podcasts do once during their like podcast like, I don't know, timeline is I'm gonna reference an Office episode. I know that's like something that's sometimes frowned upon, but do you know like the Kevin Malone scene where it happens so fast? He's like talking to that girl. He goes, "It happens so fast. It happens so fast." That's how I feel like this whole entire. No, you're shaking your head. No, Maddie, you don't know.
I mean,
it's like the Valentine's Day episode.
Undercook the portal.
Yeah, it's undercooked. Okay, whatever. Anyways, I felt like. Between that Wisconsin game, Johnny, that you're talking about, and then like where we are sitting even today, let alone 2 weeks ago, is like it happens so fast. And that's I guess that's the beauty and the angst of college basketball and the timeline of what it is. But it was just like, I don't know. It's just crazy that all of this has happened in the last month. And a month ago today, we were so nervous about what was going to happen in the tournament. And now we're just like sort of on cloud nine, even though we lost and one of our rivals won the national championship.
I'm gonna do the Indiana thing. It doesn't bother me that much. It really doesn't bother me that much.
Are you rooting for like the Lakers and the Cowboys this season as well?
I think Mahomes back off his ACL. He should be pretty dangerous this year.
Here's the one thing that does bother me though is we can basically talk about the three really special teams, 1989, 2005, and 2026. Two out of those three teams, we made the Final Four and Michigan won the national title. So that part's like not the best. And we were like, wow, look at these three great teams. And Michigan's like, oh, those were my favorite years ever. We beat you guys and won the national title. And then the interesting thing in 2005, Michigan State also made the Final Four, but we went further than them. So I guess every time we make the Final Four, there will be a Big Ten team from the state of Michigan. But at the end of the day, like that's one small piece of 365 teams in college basketball. And we were one of four teams that made the Final Four. Like it's just such a massive accomplishment and such an awesome selling point to the fact that like, John Blackwell is going to UCLA and holding title banners from the 1960s. And we're like, dude, you could hold a Final Four trophy from 3 weeks ago. Like, it's just,
I mean,
it's,
it was less than
sell.
3 minutes ago. It's yeah. It's less than 3 minutes ago. You said we're not going to talk about John Blackwell. But
I'm just using it as an example.
I know.
It's different now. And we're in the post Final Four era. And we're in kind of the, like, we're Illinois and one of the 10 best programs in the 2020s now. Like, that's really just a fact. Like, you can't say we haven't had tournament success. We have, and we've been so consistent every year that it's just, it's an awesome place to be.
I was raised in an era where I believed it actually behooved us to end our season before March so we could get ahead on all the other teams recruiting.
Yes.
We're still playing in the tournament.
That was my Instagram.
You know, I think it's just a horrible consequence of us making the Final Four is that we were weeks behind recruiting these teams that had so much time to get a head start on the portal. Yes, sarcasm intended. I'd much rather be one of those last four teams standing and be weeks behind on recruiting than our season be done in February, like we had our senior year. And we got first look at the boys like Matisse. We were in on that first. You know, when you finish the season in February, you get good looks at players like that that no one else does. All right. Anything else? We can start talking about retention here because there has been a lot of...
I guess we'll move on.
Look, just because we're talking about something else doesn't mean we have moved on from... Like, we will talk about this season for a long, long time here. Long time. So Josh did a great job of kind of listing out timeline, a lot of the things that... All the things, really, that have happened, commit, decommit, portal-wise. We can kind of run through it. I mean, everyone who's listening knows... with the structure of events. Our boy Quinton Coleman, who has committed, he committed the Friday before the Final Four, still hasn't signed yet. I don't know. I refuse to let my nervous meter get high ever with prep recruits, signing, not signing, commit, decommit. In the year 2026, it always feels so flimsy and flaily that I refuse to get nervous about this.
I think if... our roster holds true to what it is right now, there's no reason for him not to sign. If we went out and grabbed another top player, like I know we've said John Blackwell now the third time here, but if we grab John Blackwell, like I can understand his angst of wanting to sign for Illinois, but where we stand right now. So it doesn't make me that nervous because in either scenario, we're ending up with a great player. But I mean, he seems like a top 35 player. Like he's ranked a top 35, not seems, he is a ranked top 35 player, which would make him one of the highest ranked recruits that Brad has ever gotten in concert with Io, Adam Miller, Kofi. Am I forgetting?
Merez was up there.
So just obviously like a great prep commit on top of what already was a pretty solid base of a prep class. What I'm already nervous about is him having to enter Keaton's shoes, like, because that is the role he's going to somewhat play. And that just gives me anxiety. I can't imagine as a 17, maybe 18-year-old going into college saying, hey, this kid who is ranked way lower than you is now going to the NBA. Your ball.
Yeah, now you're expected to completely outplay whatever expectations are of you because you're supposed to be a lottery pick, right? Like
that is the expectations the fan base unjustifiably has.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Josh, I had this tweet where I was kind of like, oh, it's great. You look at 2026 versus 2027 and like you retain all of your bigs. You retain Jake Davis. And then I was like, and Vox can play the Ben Hummerkaus role. And we
you
still
got
need to fill
that part.
And we still need to fill the Keaton Wagler role. And then everyone was like, oh, Quinton Coleman is Wagler or Vox is Wagler. And it's like, guys, I don't know about that. All right. That's a lot to put on a kid who's 18 years old. Like you cannot expect everyone to be a second team All-American like Keaton was. And you cannot expect just immediately like, oh, or Lucas Murillo or Stefan Vox to just be that. Like,
yeah,
We watched something that was so unprecedented, and we kind of have to lower our expectations. This team, we'll get into it later, is still going to be incredibly, incredibly good, but to expect a Keaton Wagler is just insane. But at the same time, we've just seen three straight one and duns, so Brad does have an eye for talent.
And what I'll say is, like, that is like our us putting those expectations on him is something that's new for us as a fan base. There are schools that are now in, like, we have now entered this echelon of schools of Duke, of Arizona, of other schools that Kansas that have one and dones consistently. And like, that just might be our thing now, you know? Like, it, I mean, they're grabbing players that are top 10 ranked, which is a huge difference than 30, let alone 250. But those are the expectations that they put on their freshmen who are ranked that high, and they have good teams. So we're now in that conversation. So maybe it is justified that we can put the expectations that one and done is coming.
Yeah, we're not used to being like
This is
a
new to
fan
us.
base like
This is
that.
new to
It's
us.
very new to us.
Maybe
Yeah,
we
we're
should
not.
be putting these
Yeah.
expectations.
On the kid. Not on the kid. Look, guys, we just won the fucking lottery with Keaton Wagler. This is not going to happen to any school for another generation where someone ranked that low is going to play that well. I hope day one Brad Underwood sits the kid down in his office and says, "Look, kid, I understand that 23 just came through Champaign here for a year. Your expectation is not to do that. Go be great. You're going to be great." But that is an asinine, absurd, unfair, unrealistic expectation to put on a kid like that. It just doesn't even logically make any sense.
All right, fine. We'll do it on Landon Davis then.
Yeah, no, okay. He's gonna say that maybe in private to Quentin, and then he's gonna have that preseason press conference, and he's gonna be like, "Quentin's in the same class as Keaton and Will and
He's a
KJ."
combo of all three of
And
them.
you know what? I think next year, I don't know if we can question him. We did. We put
Oh,
our
for
foot in our
sure.
mouth for
Big
sure.
time. Big time. Big
So
time.
excited to see it, but I think we will at least have the expectation that he's going to follow the more traditional freshman path as opposed to the one and done path.
Absolutely. So that was right before the Final Four. Obviously, we weren't going to be podcasting.
It was great that we got a guy who Missouri really wanted him. Dennis Gates has been an awesome recruiter, and he's like, "No, I'll go to the team that made the Final Four." Like, that's cool. And there was another thing too about like Bruce Weber, right? It took him, I think, 4 years to get a top 35 recruit
Oh,
after
yes.
he made the Final Four, and it took Brad Underwood 4 days.
Well, negative one days, yeah.
It was just, it's great to see the momentum in the program and just really take advantage of the fact that you're a Final Four team and you can kind of get whoever you want now.
You have to ride this momentum for sure. There's no off days the day after you make the Final Four, unfortunately, Josh. It's like, I remember Signetti and the boys the day after.
Oh, shut up.
He took one day, and then they were back recruiting immediately.
Shut up.
When you're making no, I when you're making that kind of money, you got to strike when the iron is hot. Also, these guys are just a different breed. They know nothing but ball. They know nothing but work. Like Brad's like, yeah, what am I gonna do? Relax for 6 weeks? Like you gotta get in the portal now. So
And then
glad to see the staff's been busy.
from like a roster construction perspective, having a guard, I feel like at a cheaper rate than like a transfer, a more expensive guard is better because like the bigs are, I think Evan Miakawa kind of like put out a Substack article, but he did a whole analysis on how he somehow has access to like what the funds or like I guess the NIL rates are, and he's like the centers are the most overpaid people possible, and being able to retain people is cheaper obviously than not. So I think going and attacking like guards that are cheap is probably a more cost effective way if you're able also to retain. And I'll get to this point later about money because I have a take on money later.
Take on money.
Take on NIL funds and people caring about how much people are making. But let's keep going.
Okay, I'm excited for your value, your take on the dollar here.
Yeah, it's
So
going up.
hopefully he signs. What's the word? What's that word?
Chronological.
Chronologically, I was gonna say choreographically. Chronologically, the next thing, our sweet, sweet Prince Mihailo. I don't think anyone was surprised to see him hit the portal. Mad respect for him showing up to Gordyville at that event after hitting the portal. I hope he was still treated like a sweet prince at that event. He will forever be a part, etched a part of this team. He gets a Final Four ring. His name is on the on the shirt, on the banner. Go be great. Insert. I want to let's give like a try to give like a headshot prediction of the school he's landing. I don't know, just for funsies. But go be great wherever you are, Mihailo. Maybe you tear it up for a year and then maybe you come back high major. But we'll always have the Bama
I think it's.
game, UConn, your first UConn game. We'll always have you handing the ball at the end of the was it the Penn game or the VCU
Oh,
VCU game?
VCU
At the
game.
VCU game, handing the ball to the player. That was pretty savage right there. Mihailo will always have that. So thank you to our boy.
And his best moment of setting up AJ Red with the between the legs pass, knowing the moment, knowing that it was senior night and being like, I got to get this dude to score. And when a lot of other people might have been like, hey, this is my time to play on State Farm Center one more time. And hey, this is my time to showcase myself to Brad. He was incredibly mature. And I feel like we've seen other cases of guys be bad influences in the locker room when they're not getting their minutes. Mihailo seemed like a really just good guy to hang out around. And he seemed like just happy to be there and a positive influence. I remember Brad, when we played that Minnesota game and Mihailo came in and kind of lit a spark, he said to the team afterwards, like, we don't win this game without you, Mihailo. And he said to the media, like, he works his tail off. He's in there every day with a positive attitude. And his number was called and he stepped up. So he really did seem like a professional and just a good vibes guy. Like, he just seemed like a good hang.
He did seem like a good hang. He was, what was it, the Final Four? Did you see that interview where he's like playing 2K or Call of Duty or FIFA and they're like interviewing and he's like, I'm not good, I'm losing. He just seemed like a, he seems like a just a fun dude to hang out with. Yes, Johnny, literally a professional basketball player
Yeah,
at
true.
a prior to being in college. So also probably made like $1 million this year in Champaign. Probably made a ton of money as well. So yeah, where do you guys think he's gonna, or you guys, what
I'm thinking
echelon?
like it's like a lower high major school. Like I could see like, and I'm saying lower for basketball sense. Like I'm saying Georgia, like kind of following that RJ, like that lineage there, like a Mississippi State. They're still SEC schools, power conference schools, but it's like they're not basketball schools.
Yeah, or you could think of like a Xavier or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping for like a Murray State or something,
Yeah,
somewhere where
that'd
he
be.
really just like they give him the ball and the
Yeah.
offense is just completely surrounding him. He is just heliocentric and running the show. That'd be great.
Mahelio-centric, playing
Yes,
like
yes.
37 minutes a game
Yes.
would be awesome to see our boy. I would absolutely be watching Murray State highlights every night if he was tearing it up down there.
Okay, I'll bet you on
What, that I won't be watching Murray
that.
State that I won't be watching Murray
Correct.
State That I won't be watching
Correct.
Murray State highlights.
Correct.
I'm gonna be watching Murray State highlights just like I'm gonna be watching Chicago State football
Oh
this
yeah, okay.
fall. My
Just the same amount, right?
our hype, new hyper interest in Chicago State football. Go State. So yeah, rooting for Mihailo. Then we got Stephon Vaux come in. We got a guard. Johnny, I feel like we gotta default to you here because you came in real quick on kind of what the role that he's going to be playing next year.
I was trying to be conservative and say that he's gonna play the Ben role and that here's another guy who's like 6'7" and be a good wing. But I think I was off a little bit. He is a little bit more of a playmaker compared to Ben and a little bit more of just like a shooter, right? Like we have two returning all conference freshman teams guys. It's David Mirkovich and it's Stephon Vaux. So I think that helps you understand like the caliber player that he is, that he was one of the best five freshmen in the Big East, and now he's playing for Illinois. So Josh made the point, he's got to learn how to play defense and he's got to learn how to rebound, but he's going to be like lightning with the ball and just like a fun player to watch on offense.
Yeah, no, his usage at Providence was very high. Like the ball was in his hands as a freshman very early, and so that's why like I mean, I think he averaged like was it over 20 points a game, or like I don't know what the exact stat was last year, but he, and that's why we're one of the better analysis podcasts out there. Sorry, that's our first self-degradation of the offseason. But the ball was in his hands a lot, and I think coming to Illinois, I still think he's gonna be like our point guard. Like I think he's gonna be bringing the ball up the court with Quentin Coleman. It's him. It's one or the other, kind of like how it was Kylan or Keaton bringing the ball up, and the not that the each play is gonna be ran through him, but he's not gonna be standing in the corner like Ben did, waiting for a shot. Like he could do a lot of off dribble, like pull up or driving to lane, kind of like Andre as well. So I think it's a much bigger offensive role compared to Ben. But from a defense perspective, there's some synergy stats that make him look pretty terrible. But an off season with Fletch, and
I
you were
was I
bringing
was revving it up right there,
it
man.
off season with Fletch, and get ready to learn Cameron Crocker.
Why don't we? It's the off season. Do we ever get an off season with Fletch, like a podcast version of an off?
I was
What's
gonna
our
say it.
version? What's our version of like? Do we do like a
Wait.
semester at Medill or something? Is that our like? Is that our off season with Fletch?
Some sort of vocal training to really get those voice muscles right. Yeah, I
So
don't
that
know.
during the Final Four, your voice is not like losing its like tails after you're screaming for like 8 hours. Yeah,
And are
that.
you, Josh, are you screaming at the court or are you screaming at a kid one row in front of you
Well, no, I was kind of more saying
as
like at
we
Finley
dove
Dunn's, I was screaming
viral?
out of excitement. I was talking about us getting to the Final Four, that podcast where my voice was on its last legs, and the next two podcasts after that. But yeah, some voice training so that we can be conditioned for all climates would be great.
All climates says Detroit in March,
It's
April.
way different than Indy in March.
Yeah, absolutely. Real different right there. He is from Estonia, not considered part of the Balkans, which is kind of a bummer. Kind of a bummer.
Some people were already saying like Brad's loves the Balkans, and I just had to put out a quick like geography lesson for people, just because Baltic does not mean Balkan. Just yeah, quick geography 101. I'm a huge map guy. I don't know what that says about me. You guys can make your own comments, but Baltic is way different than Balkan.
Can you educate me on exactly where Estonia is
It's
relative
like
to?
near like Lithuania. It's near Serbia. It's more north, like Baltic, like ba sorry, Balkan is like south near Greece,
Okay,
like
okay.
Croatia, and like by like on the Mediterranean. Baltic is north, more towards like Russia, Finland, Sweden.
Okay, got it, got it. That makes sense.
If we
Which
win,
KJ was Lithuanian, so at that point he was not Balkan,
I
right?
might have screwed up with Lithuania, and that's gonna be so embarrassing
No,
here.
I don't think Lithuania is in the Balkans. I think you're
No,
right.
no, no, no. You were saying Estonia and Lithuania are more north than
Yes,
the
yes, yes. It
Croatia.
goes
Yeah.
Finland is the most north country there, then south of that is Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania.
Okay.
And then it's borders with Poland, if that helps you, Lithuania. Oh wait, we're talking Estonia. Yeah, no, it's Estonia's borders with Russia and Latvia.
Okay, that's
Okay.
good. If we win the national championship, do we
Yeah.
take a trip to the Baltics next year?
That
I
might
mean,
be
it would
our new
have to be
bet. Yeah.
included. We
Yeah.
would have to go Balkans, Baltics.
It would have to be a summer trip, because I don't know about you. I don't really want to go to the Baltic state of Estonia in the middle of winter.
Estonia just seems like it would be like a nice place to go to.
It's probably very
What part
pretty.
about it?
I don't know. It just
It's probably
it
really pretty there. It's got to
yeah,
be gorgeous.
exactly.
It's got to be gorgeous. Which,
It
by
just
the
the
way,
name Estonia.
did you guys see the news where now teams can take a yearly trip abroad? Speaking
Yeah,
of which,
there's for sure gonna be a summer trip this year to the Baltic. Balkans, Balkans.
Also, do you guys think Bill Raftery listens to the show? Like when he saw that Zvonimir dunk, first thing he says is, "Take me to the Balkans, please."
I mean,
No, no.
yeah,
I think he listens to
I
I think he's like, "Yeah, I want to go in the boardroom Balkans
I'm
Euro
fine. Yeah,
trip."
I'm fine with
Yeah, I
living in
think,
that fanfic. Sure. That would be awesome if he if come on, Bill, come on the show if you got a little time now in the off season. So we still have to take our Balkans trip, obviously. We have a 5-year expiration date on that. And then Baltics if we make the, we'll say the Final Four again, because we did Final Four last time.
No, no, national championship.
I'm just like, I don't have time for this. All
no, no commitments.
don't have time for all these trips.
Secret, secret.
Secret, secret.
Josh, at some point, I need you to make a map though and just put Brad's face on every single country that he's gotten a guy from, because Finland, Jacob Grandison played for the Finland national team too. So, like, we really have a little European.
If you've seen our social media since the Final Four, we have obviously like made a more unified or a better graphic experience, and that's thanks to our partners at oh my God, why am I
Anthropic.
Aragon.
Oh, Aragon. Yeah.
but no, let's see if I can quickly do that. I'll take your tweet from a while ago about France and whatever and see if that's an easy one. All
That
right, continue.
quote is going to be subpoenaed, just so you know now. Gosh, we talk about Anthropic. Continue on. Anything else about our boy Stefan before we move on to the next?
There's his haircut does remind me of like a little bit of Ben Hummerkaus with long hair. That's really my thoughts
You're
on it.
really trying to make the comp work here.
I
You
am,
really
I
want to
am.
make you want to make the comp work. It's maybe like an inverse of Ben a little bit, right? Where the defense isn't there, the offense isn't is a little bit better. Maybe we kind of like average the two out. If we could get a little bit more of an average, where we let's get a little bit of defense up, would be the best of both worlds. Not sure if he's married. We'll have to check on that part right there. We'll have to keep the day after bragging rights open. Is what you I would tell Stefan for next year, just in case you want to get married. Is a good day to have a wedding next winter.
Yeah, I think we'll see. But who's our next guy?
So this guy Keaton, he declared for the draft. He's I don't know if you guys heard, he was kind of like this under-recruited fella from Kansas. Brad never actually watched him in person. The first game that he watched in person, he only scored like 4 points, but he made
This is
every
new to
right.
me. This is new to me. Tell me more.
Well, I heard this one time when they were showing Peja in the stands
Oh,
during a
yeah.
game. They started talking about Keaton being under-recruited. So yes, Keaton then declared for the draft. No surprises there. Go be great, kid. Go again. Another Illini getting selected on draft night. Ho hum. Another one and done. So that was not surprising, but really, really cool.
Brad mentioned it at Gordyville that he flew to Shawnee to basically talk the Wogglers through the process. So it sounded like Keaton was kind of on the fence and made a tough decision. And I wonder if his heart was telling him to stay for another year, because he probably had like the best year of his life, right? And he was probably like, this was so much fun, and I want to win a national championship. But then there's the other part, just financially, of you're about to make like $30 million guaranteed and set yourself up for like long-term success. And there's no guarantee that a year from now you don't have a knee injury or don't play as well the next year and not be a top 10 pick. So it would have been very irresponsible to stay in college for another year and not go to the draft. But it sounded like he really wanted to, which is awesome.
I think he knew where all of his teammates that were like where their head was, where it was at on if they were returning or not. And he was like, oh my God, could we just do it again? Could we just like go back to the Final Four, go, run back this entire season, everyone but Kylan? Like that would be awesome. But yeah, Iron Jaw Larry Gies couldn't give him a nice enough offer to return. So I guess we know where to put the blame.
You had your chance. You had your pitch, Josh. You could have said,
I
hey,
could have.
get the pocketbook out. Get Keaton back. I respect up for even just thinking about it, even if it's ridiculous. Respect up for Brad. I want to believe that most coaches would do that. I don't know if every coach would do that for Brad, just being like, hey, Keaton, like you got to go to the league, kid. As much as we'd love to have you back, and we'd be preseason number one and absolutely titled, you know. Maybe title close to title favorites alongside Michigan. If you return, it would be irresponsible for you to not go to the league.
Well, yeah, there's a huge difference between Keaton's, where he's projected to go within the draft, which is top 10, versus like let's say Braylon Mullins, who is who announced he's returning to UConn. I think he was projected just first round is what I think I saw. So like there's a huge difference between like a late round first round pick versus a top 10 pick. When you're a lottery pick, like the answer should be so easy. It's great that college basketball allows for potential for freshmen and sophomores to come back because they get to be compensated just as well, and they'll obviously grow and hopefully improve their position if they're lower in the draft. But yeah, no, for Keaton, it I'm glad that it wasn't an easy decision, but it was an easy decision. That made sense in my
Yeah,
mind.
it wasn't like a Wally Batiku situation where it's like you probably should come back instead of declaring. That's about as that's as deep of a cut as I can get right there.
Yes.
That's any deeper and you're
I
seeing
think we had an extra year of Daniel Amater-Bebe as well, and he declared for the draft.
Daniel or it's
Daniel.
Daniel. He then ended up transferring somewhere else, I think. He maybe went to K-State afterwards.
Yeah, you're right. Boys, cooking damn deep cuts only.
Yeah, Josh Amater-Bebe's brother played tight end.
That is
That's how deep we're
so
going right
deep.
now. But yeah, it is cool that we're in this NIL era where I've seen a lot of draft boards that rank, let's say, like the top 100 guys, and we have a bunch of dudes who are like in the 50 to 80 range, like David, the Twins, and Andre. And in the past, some of those guys just would have gone out. Like that's kind of what Kofi ended up doing. But instead, why not make a decent amount of money at Illinois and have the chance to make another Final Four? So definitely fortunate timing to be in the NIL era for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. So we'll be watching draft night, Keaton. Up next, we have probably the what percent of people that were watching the Dobbin Twitch stream, that was their first ever like Twitch stream that they watched? Because there's like a population of people out there, like younger folks, that like that's their thing, is they just like watch streamers. And I think a lot of people probably got their first taste of Twitch streams last week, watching David stream. And boy, were there a couple clips were clipping there. Most notably, his decision to return to Illinois next year. The quote of him saying it's either NBA or Illinois, which maybe that means we've got him for a couple more years here. Wink, wink. But that was a dope ass way to announce you're returning to Illinois.
It was a very interesting Twitch stream in which he starts it by saying, "I have important news to announce in 25 minutes." And you have people who are on Twitch trying to understand it. Like, for whatever reason, I don't understand why we needed that 25 minutes. Like, 5 minutes would have been great. But yeah, we were watching him just be his goofy self for 25 minutes, talking about the most random thing, Chicago beers, to be one of the funnier things he said. And he showed us his Superman slippers. But yeah, just an all-time announcement. It's a where were you moment.
Yes. They were Spider-Man Crocs.
Oh,
That's what
that's
they
what I
were.
meant.
I was like, David could honestly have a podcast. Okay. That guy will say anything and it's entertaining, right? He was talking. He had a really funny pronunciation of Buzz Lightyear, too.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly what it might have been, like my Buzz Lighter or something. Like, he's just a character. And of course, he had to troll a little bit during his announcement. It cuts off. And you're like, oh no, what's gonna happen? And then it's just the letter, "I'm back." And then he comes back with the managers. So, classic David, always just gonna be one of the most entertaining guys. And I don't know about you guys, I got the sense that the way that they were all interacting on Twitch the couple days before, too, or like Instagram Live, and they're all interacting, they were too, like messing around too much to not come back to Illinois was my thought. Like, you would look like a real asshole if you decided, you know what, I'm putting my name in the portal. I feel like everyone learned after the LeBron decision. Like, you can only make these kind of announcements if they're good news versus you're going to get vilified.
How old were these kids during the LeBron decision? These kids were
That's
probably
a
like
great
8 years old.
that's a great point. And also, I feel like decisions like recruitments, like ever, like even like Cliff Alexander afterwards, like you just had terrible announcements, like from recruits. Like they just did the worst possible things to upset one fan base and make another fan base the most happy that day. Like even like Keith Randolph had like throwing away the Iowa hat and picking up the Illinois hat.
We don't see a lot of hat. Where's the hat? I feel like the hat ceremonies have kind of gone away recently. I haven't seen a hat ceremony in
Feel
a
like
while.
in basketball, people care a little bit less about high school recruiting. So that's kind of changed it a little bit in the portal. It just seems like every agent is tweeting something out. But it's a great point, Maddie. The hats
That's
have
pretty
really
much.
gone away.
That which is fine. Maybe it was kind of getting a little bit overplayed. I like it. It's kind of like with gender reveals. They were getting a little bit boring, so now we have to have like crazy gender reveal stuff. Kind of like with commitments and portal. It's like now we have to have a more creative way. Like we got to do it on stream. We got to do it at Gordyville chugging a beer. Like we got to do it on Instagram Live. I like it. We're finding more creative ways to commit here instead of just being like, I'm having a boy or I'm having a girl. It's like I'm a chug a Bud Light and tell you I'm running this shit back. That's creative.
You don't remember Adam Miller pulling out an orange and blue wolf mask? That
That I
was an
remember.
experience. That was an experience.
I remember calling a cake shop when Mark Smith was committing because there was a rumor that a cake had been made. And I was calling around to local cake shops in town to see what color fondant they had used recently in the Mark Smith cake to see if it was Spartan green or Illini orange. So that's a good one right there because there was a cake I remember he unzipped and had the Illinois. So it's the real boots on the ground type of detective work when you guys were abroad that I was doing back in Champaign.
And the other fun detective work was Polo Gate at Gordyville, where
That was an hour and a half that I'll never get back.
right. David had already committed and Mihailo had already said, I'm leaving. And David was wearing Illinois gear and a few people weren't. So then it was like, oh, okay, is everyone who's wearing Illinois gear coming back and everyone who's not leaving? And Tommy was not wearing Illinois gear. So it's like, uh-oh, what's going on here? But fortunately, we found out pretty quickly afterwards that that did not correlate to whether or not you were coming back.
Yes. So after David obviously was
Wait,
Tommy,
wait, wait. I
Jake,
have one
and
more thing.
Zvani. Oh, I was just
One.
adding. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
But I was just saying in that moment, in what went down in Gordyville was that.
Yeah, the big three. But one thing about David too, it was so refreshing to hear him say that it was Illinois or the NBA, right? Like, I don't know. We've heard so many times of just like Illinois is not that great of a destination. And for David, it was like I told my agent right away, like, I'm coming back to Illinois, sort of thing. And I love it because it doesn't give your agent a ton of leverage. But at the same time, it's cool that Illinois is such a special place for him. And it makes me wonder if we did benefit from the fact that they have like a true professional agent instead of some family member or some like unaccredited NIL guy who maybe only has one client, where their goal is to like, we want to extract the most money versus Misko's got like 40 different guys, a lot of whom are professional. He's got Nikola Jokic. He knows kind of like what the bigger picture is, and it's maybe not like squeezing out another $1 million or trying to tamper. It's, hey, my client has improved a lot and really likes playing at Illinois. We're going to keep this guy happy and we're going to make sure that he gets well compensated. And I feel like it's a nice like straight shooter for Brad to work with, because for Misko, it's like we want to, he also wants to retain David. And Brad wants to retain David. So they have a very similar interest in mind.
Well, he's very relationship based, it seems like. Obviously, he brought a lot of his clients to the University of Illinois, including someone that maybe like doesn't belong at the University of Illinois, but it's all relationship based rather than strictly a money based. So like he brought Tony Bilic,
Oh,
I
we
don't
didn't
know.
even add him. Did you not?
I forgot to add him to the list, but I'm going to bring him up right now. Like he's in the transfer portal right now. But it was very much a relationship thing. Like, hey, I've been helping you guys out, making you guys go to the tournament. A 1-1 and done last season. You're now in the final four with four of my players right now. And so, if you don't mind, let's just add a fifth for that extra scholarship that you have open so that he can announce to go to the portal in the summer. So it's just all about relationships besides just cash and what other family members would want in the recruiting process.
Well, doesn't it look, it's also your, what's the, like your ability to make more money in the long run at Illinois, regardless of the contract, is great because he's been there for a year. Everyone's going to buy his merch. Everyone knows Cowboy Merc now versus if you transferred somewhere else, your brand, I guess that was the word I was looking for, is not as already established. So even if he gets $200,000 less at Illinois than if he went to, I'm just going to make up a blue blood Duke. Isn't your potential outcome or your potential profit a lot greater potentially by staying at Illinois if you've already been established?
For sure. I mean, like, look at him on the charts of the jersey sales, right? Like, David's getting a lot of compensation from the fact that everyone's buying his jersey on the NIL store, and he was the third best player on Illinois, and he was fifth in the country. And it's basically like Keaton Wagler, David, and a couple of the best guys on Final Four teams. Like, you don't get that in a lot of other places. And Maddie and Josh, I saw you guys throw a few numbers out there if you want to make a pitch.
You're getting the flash from the side of the stage there.
I mean, you could have easily worked it in what you were saying with NIL store. I know you're not like you're trying to stay out of the ads, which you'll stay out of the money from the ads as well. But
Yeah.
what is there like? I'll set you up. Is there like a promo code you could use to buy more Davin merch at the NIL store?
Yes, you can use promo code BoardRoom15 to get 15% off. I am wearing my Final Four sweatshirt right now, which I did buy
That's really
impulsively.
good for a audio pod to see.
I
It's like
mean,
the audio description. It's like Wagner pans to an orange shirt in which there is a t-shirt of every player on it. It
yeah.
looks like it's been already worn 45 times, despite the Final Four only being 15 days ago.
Yeah.
It feels like 15% is probably the highest you're going to get anywhere. So you might as well take advantage of a deal if you're looking to get some off-season merch right there. So anyways, Gordieville. The big three return: Zvonimir, Tomislav, and Jake Davis, corner three, running it back. Guys, I think we got to go to Gordieville next year too. Talk about a place. If we win the Natty, forget the Baltics. I think we got to go Gordieville. I think we got to go to Gordieville.
That looked awesome.
That
I
looks
think
so
Robert said
sick.
they've got like a dirt floor in there too. Like, I want to see the horses in there, but just Tommy chugging a beer and saying I'm back is just all time classic stuff from him. It just seems like an amazing event.
I think they have the dirt floor because they do like animal events, like
Showings,
they do cattle showings. Sorry, I'm a Midwesterner, but I'm from the big city, so it's really
Yeah, big
showing.
city
It's
boy.
big city boy. It's really showing right now. So shout out Gordieville. We get one more year of Jake Davis threes. If I'm Jake Davis, I'm just going to Ubbin and I'm shooting like 15,000 threes a day between now and September, and I'm hoping to shoot like 44.5% from three next year. Like I'm just chucking them until I'm sick and tired of shooting threes.
I am so excited that Jake is back. There's one part of me that's like a little like we have to deal with this for another year, and that is, should Jake have been starting over Andres those last like six games? If we get another whole year of that conversation, is a good scenario to be in. I totally understand that. It's just that the worst person you know is going to be asking you that question throughout all of next season. And it's I'm maybe they change make a change up and Andres start. I don't think Andre comes back without him starting, but
Hey,
I
I
said that
love the
with
people who ask whether or not Jake should be starting. But it's just a classic good old sports debate. But we're going to trust our guy, Brad Underwood. But yes, I totally agree with Josh. You made an amazing point that that will live on for sure. But I do think
forever.
Andre's going to start.
I do too. Yeah. I mean, you just have to. There's a big defensive gap that's out of the guard part of the lineup right now with Kylan gone, and Andre seems to kind of have that. He was improving throughout the season, and especially with potentially Vox starting as well. There are some glaring holes on the defensive side of our team, but
Got a guard
that's
heavy
not for
team.
us to figure out.
No, I got a guard heavy team.
But it's so great to have Jake Davis back. That's just like your culture champion, right? That's a guy who's really going to be the leader of the team. I can pretty much say confidently, like, he's going to be a captain next year and just the guy to teach everyone this is what the Illinois program is and kind of be the person in the locker room, but also like a key player on the court, right? Like, he had a couple of massive corner threes. If you remember that Purdue game, we were down a couple points and he hit basically like a shot clock buzzer beater in the corner. He hit that massive three against Nebraska where Tommy flipped the ball over to him and then we went on a big run. Like, Jake's on the court impact was definitely there too. I mean, those two massive free throws against Michigan State to send it to overtime. Like, he's had a lot of really good moments, and the year one to year two progression was awesome. So hopefully year two to year three is he continues to get more athletic and stouter on the defensive side and just stays confident offensively. He was what, like a 41% point three-point shooter this year. So more of the same would be awesome.
He needs the Damonte Williams double your three-point percentage every year plan.
Yes.
Senior to senior year. Just 10,000 threes a day, buddy. Happy to have Jake Davis back. Fan favorite. Going to get emotional on the next one, boys. A guy who hasn't played in a couple of years, but talk about your championship.
Wait. I feel like we got to talk about the Ivicic brothers a little bit.
Oh, we skipped. I'm sorry. I'm so... Sometimes it's easy to get lost in Gordyville and,
yeah.
And the size of it, the just recruiting budget, location of it all. It's yes, I can't believe we didn't talk about. I quickly alluded to Tommy chugging the beer and then Zvonnie grabbing the mic and doing the. I know we talk where there's no hat stuff anymore, where you kind of fake the hat. He did fake. He said, "I'm putting my name in the transfer portal," and they said what he said. No, fuck that shit. I'm running it back, yeah. which was pretty awesome that he did that. They both let their character personality show a little bit in their decision to come back. Tommy chugging the beers, Vonnie giving the quick little psych fake out. Excited to have the twins back.
Someone said like Zvonimir just so casually swears and it's hilarious. Like, he's done it before in other interviews and he seems like a hilarious dude. And Tommy, I mean, just year three of him. I think I'm going to say it a lot, but what if next year is the year that we were all expecting from him in year two jump? Like, that could really be like a special player, all Big Ten, all American type of guy. So really excited to see what that year three looks like, and really cool that he only wears one college jersey and it's Illinois because he started as a sophomore. So this will be his last year, and really cool to just have the continuity of those two big guys, man on the floor. Hopefully Zvonimir maybe figures it out from a shooting perspective, because towards the tail end of the season, the threes were not going in, but just at the start of the season, I just remember kind of being in awe of Zvonimir and being like, this guy could like just be a backup center in the NBA very quickly because he can kind of do everything. So another offseason with Fletch, and they might be really in a good spot. And just it's exciting to see. Like, I don't know if you guys remember 2024, but that was not fun. We made the Elite Eight. And it sucked seeing all those good players just leave, right? Like, each individual case made a lot of sense, right? Dane Danger wanted more playing time and a more defined role, so he went to Memphis. Coleman, we didn't want to wait for him because he was like testing the waters in the NBA draft, and then it's making $2 million, which at the time was like the most in college basketball. And then Luke Goody, it was, hey, I don't know the team around me, and I'm going to go to my like childhood team in Indiana. And they all made sense, but it still was not fun to just completely rebuild a roster. This is way more fun to be like, wow, these guys love Illinois and they're coming back. And maybe that's the difference between making a Final Four and the Elite Eight. But this has just been such a blast, Josh.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And I from the Ivicic brothers, having both of them just on campus and like being able to be part of our like kind of define our team. I know Kentucky, when they got Zvonnie the first time, like everyone was talking. I mean, our favorite person, John Rothstein, was like, when Big Z gets eligible, this team look out his freshman year. And then he went to Arkansas for a season and had a little bit of a step back. But now I feel like in his senior year, he'll be able to be like, I mean, I'm hoping like what, like you, there's really no misstep between Zvonnie and Tommy as they switch off being in the game. And I think we're probably going to, because we only have three bigs, we're going to see them on the floor at the same time, like frequently. And you're going to be seeing a lot of like Ivicic, power forward center type of rotations, which will be interesting on the defensive side. But I mean, we gotta. It's just so exciting to have both of them there with David and yeah.
I think my favorite nugget from Gordieville was something that Robert wrote in his article, which was he's talking about how there were a bunch of they raised, I don't know, like $700,000 at the auction. He said, and Brad was kind of doing the auction thing, and there were certain ones where he might have to encourage people to, hey, you should bid on this, whatever. There were two jerseys from KJ and Will Riley from the NBA, I think that they had signed. And the each one, I think the winning bid was $3,000, and it went to the same person, and that was Tomislav Ivicic. So Tommy, the day that he re-ups with Illinois, spends $6,000 on his friend's jerseys, who
That's
they
so
probably
cool.
just would have sent it to him. But
Yes.
Tommy's like, you know what, Brad, I love you. Here's $6,000 to your charity. Like, that's awesome.
A guy who knows a lot about philanthropy already, Tommy,
Yes, that's
who
true.
started his
That's
college
good.
career with a philanthropic 501c3 tax write-off donation, now almost bookends it here with Tommy's just a very charitable young man right there. That is an awesome story. I actually did not know that. That's hysterical. Man, Gordieville was really the place to be last week for the Coaches versus Cancer event.
I mean, it's been year after year. Brad like brings top tier people, and like he's like, oh, this is the easiest year I can do this. I can just bring my team who just went to the Final Four and raised so much money. But he's brought Bill Rafferty, he's brought Bill Self, he T Tom Izzo's been down there, Hoiberg's been down there, like McCaffrey's been down there. Like year after year, he puts it together. I think his first year they said that he raised like $150,000 to $200,000 in on whatever year it is right now, year 7 or 8, there he's already at like $750,000 or $600,000 from this one event. He's obviously he's got it into full swing, and it's a
Which that's why they moved it to Gordieville, because they needed a larger capacity. It used to be in Champaign, but they're like, now we got to have 700 people or whatever. So I wonder what the like what's the dollar per plate for us to get in there. I'm interested.
We might have to look into that next year. Might have to
We
take a
might need
field
more
trip.
promo codes.
Yeah, my last Gordieville comment though is, what did you guys think of Brandon Lee's shirt? He looked like he had just come out of a workout.
You know what? I'm not prepared for this podcast today, this recording, clearly. I don't know.
I didn't analyze it
In
that
the
well,
same way
besides
that we don't know
if it
Brandon
was
Lee's status
polo
for
or
next
not
year.
polo.
It was not, it was Illinois, but it was not polo. It
Got
really
it.
looked like he had just come out of a workout, right? And it was like the athletic material Illinois shirts that like it could have just been like a practice warm-up shirt, but that's maybe the average eye was more like, hey, we just got commitments from all of our best players back. And I was like, Brandon Lee's wearing a gray Illinois shirt. Interesting choice.
I'll have to go back and look after this, Josh.
Yeah.
What? Let's finish the rest of the players. But what is he doing? Like, what are we wait? Are we waiting on it?
Him and Jason, we don't know. And Blake, and
Blake, oh no.
hey, go to your room. Go to your room. Take a lap. Okay, Gordieville was a success. A lot of money raised. Fantastic. As I alluded to it, I apologize. I missed Tommy and Zvani. Ty Rodgers portal. I don't think anyone can blame Ty Rodgers for making this decision to go to the portal. Obviously, he hasn't played in a couple of years. I think the picture of him holding the trophy after the Final Four, like no one deserved to hold that trophy more than Ty Rodgers, despite not playing a moment the last 2 years. Absolutely a Brad Underwood culture guy. Absolutely a glue guy. I will be rooting so goddamn hard for Ty Rodgers wherever he plays next year, and for him to absolutely tear it up. So don't blame him for hitting the portal, but feel like standing ovation for Ty Rodgers when he comes into his ball game for the first time next year wherever he plays.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so cool seeing him this year. Like, well, I guess the last 2 years just be kind of like the player coach role for I guess KJ and Will, And then this year with Keaton, like kind of guiding them through the mental part of the game as well as the player part. But like from all you heard from the press conferences and just videos from the practices and even watching him on the bench during each game, it was just like he was such like he did bleed orange and blue, and it was very cool to see, even though he couldn't get into the game, his passion for the program. And when you have a successful season and you're not part of it, like you obviously want to be there, but like roles get defined, and it's really tough to see where you're the whole situation. And he was like, I want to go make my name elsewhere. And I totally respected it. Like with the type of team that we're putting together for next year, with all the announcements of everyone returning, it's like, where does he fit in? Is he like the third number three or the second big man off the bench? And it's like very challenging. Obviously, there's some limitations in the shooting part of the game, and that's what you need when you're running a very spread the floor offense like Brad is. So I totally get it from his perspective. I think he would dominate and own probably all the mid majors. So very excited to see where he ends up, and we'll be rooting for him no matter what.
Yes, fascinated to see where he goes. Hopefully it's not a Michigan State or a
Oh my
Michigan.
God, it cannot be a Big Ten team. It
That would be
cannot.
really frustrating. But I think, yeah, it totally makes sense for him. He red shirts and then immediately hurts his knee when he's about to come back. Like, I'm sure he just really wants to play basketball and play basketball competitively and play somewhere where you can kind of more guarantee your minutes, as opposed to he's obviously, like you said, Josh, going to be behind Andre, going to be behind David, going to be behind some other guys. So he probably just wants to like get real minutes and contribute to winning on a team. So can't fault him at all. And our playing style has drastically changed in the last couple of years since Ty has played. So hopefully he finds a fit that really works for him, but can't say anything negative about Ty given how mature he was. And I would not be shocked if in a couple of years after his college basketball career is over, he's back on Brad Underwood's staff as a graduate assistant and then video coordinator, like all that stuff. Like Brad has just talked so glowingly about Ty, and definitely going to root like hell for him. Hopefully, once again, he goes anywhere but a Big Ten team, so we can really just have the most positive thoughts about him.
That would be so mean. That would be so mean if he went to a Big Ten team. That's the ultimate, like, break your brain situation because you want to root for him so badly. I don't, I mean, you said Michigan. I respectfully to Ty, I don't think he has the credentials at this point in his career to transfer to a high major team like that blue blood that just won the national championship. I don't think he has here.
He
He's
could
such
be
an unknown. He's
a
even played in 2 years.
rotation guy. I think the reason why we said that is just because he's from the state of Michigan, so there's like a little bit of ties, and like Izzo specifically loves him,
Sure.
and it like we'll talk about him at press conferences. But like this is a guy who started on an Elite Eight team 2 years ago, so he
Totally.
definitely and was like Team USA basketball, all this stuff. Now he's a few years removed from it. I think anyone take him, you're kind of just gambling on whether or not he's fully recovered from his knee injury. But yeah, there's such a wide range of possibilities, places for him to go. But like when I think back to that class of Sky Clark, Jaden Epps, Sincere Harris, and Ty Rogers, there's one guy who sticks out of that dude was a loyal guy, and that was Ty Rogers. So we'll appreciate him like heck for not being like some of those other guys who either left the team midseason or kind of said some negative things about Illinois on their way out. Ty's just been nothing but a real pro, so gonna root like heck for him.
Totally. Totally. Couple more. We're almost there. The most recent, like I said, last player to make their decision, because like we said, we've got guys like Brandon and Blake and Jason to still make their decision. Andre decided to come back. The news dropped. Kind of felt like Andre was waiting for a couple of dominoes, a couple of things behind closed doors to kind of materialize. Hence his choice was a little bit later. Again, can't blame a guy in today's day and age to sort of take their time to see kind of to let chips kind of fall where they may. I know there were some rumors before the season was ending or as the season was ending that he was going to go to his fourth school in 4 years. sticks around, we're able to make a deal happen. Hopefully, year two, Andre, under the Brad Underwood system again, he gets some continuity at a school here. He gets his best year yet, springboards him onto NBA draft boards. But that's a big return right there. He really did come on in the last few games of the season there, both offensively and defensively. So really excited to see an offseason with Andre.
Yeah, it was a big pickup. It was a big pickup to basically solidify your wing position. Maddie, you're going to say your classic, I just need you to shoot 10,000 threes in the offseason.
So many threes, so many threes.
Because that's the missing piece in his game. But he was so clutch down the stretch and just a great kind of guy to body down and just layup after layup and mid-range shot. And I wonder if he's going to have a little bit more like booty ball Marcus Domask in him next year. We'll see. It's interesting because like David can also do that, and Tommy can do it a little bit, but that it's just huge to know what you're getting from Andre and know what you're getting from that position. And also remember that he's still 21 years old, and there's real opportunity for improvement. Like people are saying, oh, it could be like the year two of Terrence Shannon. I don't think it's going to be like that because Shannon was just like a different level of athlete, but there's definitely opportunity for noticeable improvement. So it's a huge, huge pickup.
I really don't hate that comparison. I haven't thought about it until you said that. And
No way. That's crazy.
no, but it like there's a lot of that that makes a lot of sense. Terrence went to multiple schools before coming to Illinois. You get his second season. He's the recruit that like I guess from an Andre perspective we were recruiting him before, but like he's the prized possession that we're retaining this offseason. Even like one of the prized possessions, because everyone's really like a prized possession. But like I really like that comparison, and oh boy, now I'm
You like the
gonna
comparison
start
because
looking.
he's an all freaking all American
No, but
NBA.
there's a lot that makes sense. Like Terrence, his first year with us wasn't the best 3-point shooter, and then he became kind of like the clutch player that like we saw some moments of that, but like he became the clutch player and like our best overall player his second season when there was other great players on the team. I don't know that. I'm probably going to think about that the entire off season.
Yeah, it was a decision to put that thought in our head for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, very different bodies they've got. He's got to probably bulk up a lot more. Like Terrence's body in his second year at Illinois was absurd.
Right.
Andre's got to put on 30 pounds of muscle this offseason if he wants to look like Terrence Shannon anytime soon. But yes, if he could kind of be that muscle your way to the lane guy, muscle your way to the hoop guy, and be a driver and improve your 3-point shooting, then yes, look out.
Yeah, I think from an Andre perspective, it's about consistency, and that was like we if he like there were games that he had stinkers during the regular season, and it was I mean some of it was due to his injury at the beginning of the season, in the middle of the season, and like that's why he was not as effective. But if he stays healthy, which I think if every single player you could say that for, if he's as healthy, like that's all we really like. I would expect the consistency follows.
We are getting to the point in the show where we are doing the, and every player that is coming back will be better next year than they were
Yeah,
this
well,
year
that is
segment
usually the case.
in the show.
Yeah,
Well, here's the thing
like
is if every player on Illinois is getting better, then every player at every school who's coming back is also
but
theoretically
every
getting
player at
better.
every school wasn't in the Final Four last year with this exact same team besides Keaton
No, I
Wagler
know. It's just a
and
fun
kind
thing that we always do where it's like, all right, this player's coming back, the player's getting better. Like, so guys, someone is not going to be as good as we think they will be. When we
Fine,
talk
fine.
about
Who do you want it to be then? Who do you
when
want
we
it to
draft,
be?
I hope it's not them. When one of us drafted Mihailo in whatever round, like
You.
I did not draft Mihailo.
No, it
Sorry,
was me. It was
I
me. It
drafted
was me.
Keaton, baby. I got Keaton in a steal, like the third round of the draft, right there. Yes, not everyone can get better. Unfortunately, every single basketball player will not get better. Yes, there is, I think, a lot of evidence to point to guys like Tommy maybe taking a step, or Andre taking a step, or any of these guys taking a step. But you got to do it first before it actually happens. That's my point.
But when you are like get veterans, they do typically get better. So fingers crossed that that remains the case because that's why we're projected. I think right now, I saw eighth on Bart Torvik and obviously teams have us top four, even like before. We'll see how the rest of the portal season shakes out. But the reason why we're expected to be a top 10 team next year is because you project improvement from guys like David Mirkovic. So you're returning, what, 60% of your scoring from a Final Four team. Your losses are your best player, Keaton Wagler, and one of your best defenders in Kylan. But I do think it's fair to say some of these guys will get better. So excited to see the improvement. But
of course, it's just a funny,
well,
it's just a funny
year,
like thing that we do. We just do the silly, like,
you know what,
let's
just wait till the season starts. Let's end the podcast. Let's not like project what we think it's gonna
be. No, I know it's not it's our projection is it's very simple. It's everyone is going to get better. It's a very simple
and everyone
suggestion.
On every other team is gonna get worse.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
We do have three All Americans on our team for sure.
Yes. No doubt. Absolutely. Easy peasy. Our last piece here, the most recent domino to fall, we got Mr. Wisconsin. We got Xavier Zenz. Look, I understand he's far from the highest recruit that we've signed. But I just think the fun part here is stealing away Mr. Wisconsin from the state of Wisconsin. I almost don't care what he's ranked. I just love that we can kind of poach a guy like that away from Greg Gard and say, yeah, well come to Illinois.
Yeah, he's cousins with Con Knipple, which makes sense because his initials are also like ZZKK. They both like their parents love the alliteration.
Oh yeah,
I think their moms are sisters. I think Xavier Zenz has won like three straight high school titles and just absolute winner. And yes, he's ranked 237th in the composite, but I think considering the fact that Wisconsin also wanted him, he's going to be better than that. And I'm very excited to see that. Actually, Maddie, I do have some stats for you.
Back it up. Of course he's going to get better.
Because so Max Preps listed like their high school All-Americans and they had 15 guys, like first team, second team, third team. So the first team had the number one ranked recruit, but this by like 24/7 composite ranking. So first team All-American had number one, number three, number 23, number 24, and number 91. Number 91 is Quentin Coleman based on composite. So Max Press said, hey, Quentin Coleman's a first team All-American. The recruiting rankings had him number 91. Then second team All-America had the rankings of 2, 4, 7, 14, and 22, which, I mean, most of those guys are basically like top 10 to top 25 guys. And then the third team All-Americans had 6, 13, 16, 46, and 237, which is Xavier Zenz. So it makes me think, hey, wow, the recruiting rankings were able to identify all of these really good players and they all ended up being All-Americans, except the two outliers are the two guys that signed with Illinois, Quentin Coleman and Xavier Zenz. And what does Brad Underwood have? It's an eye for talent. So I think that he might be a little bit better than his ranking is saying.
He might be. It's a good reminder that stars only matter when we sign someone that are four or five stars, and when they're three stars, that stars do not matter at all. Look, obviously, I trust Brad. I'm not saying just because he's ranked 238th that he's not going to be good. I trust Brad. I trust Brad.
And if anything, it's kind of good to have a couple developmental guys on the team so that we have some people for the retention a year from now that we feel like are good pieces.
It's a great point. I think in this era of college basketball, you do kind of forget that there is still something to be said about developing an athlete, and that not every guy that comes in can be, will be, or should necessarily be ready to play. That if guys can sometimes be patient for a year or two and sit on the bench a little bit and develop at a place like Illinois, where you're still going to get paid, by the way, that you can come in your sophomore year or your junior year and you can light it up for 2 or 3 years. I still think there's a lot of value in doing that. If you're not a 4 or 5 star guy, if you're not a top 50 composite guy, that maybe this is exactly the situation for a guy like this, where he sits for a year and he learns and he gets his ass kicked in practice a little bit, and a bunch of guys leave next year, and then he steps in the spotlight a little bit. Heaven forbid a player actually go the old school way and develop a little bit and stick around at a school for a couple of years, Johnny. That is a fun point that we used to have that in college athletics.
Well,
Dudes used to stick around.
here's the money point is that like first off that like I don't care how Brad Underwood or Larry Geese or Josh Whitman spend Illini's money. I just want to have the best possible team. But in order to do that and to have to be able to fill 15 spots on the court, you have to have your rotation during the season is what, eight players. It might become seven or eight, like down to seven when it comes to tournament time, when the like the games actually like matter like way more. And you should be spending all of your money for those seven or eight players. And so you should be able to have the other seven or eight players, depending on where the math lies, like be that developmental route. Because I don't know, if I'm a high school student going to college and I have to either go to, and I get the offer, I know this, I'm putting a lot of like weight into how good I am at basketball right now. But I have the option of going to a Big Ten school for not a lot of money, but probably the same amount of money as if I was like a recruit going to like a mid-major school. Like it's still not like a bad amount of money. And so in this Big Ten program, I get to like develop and potentially have that outcome where I prove myself where I'm good enough to return and be one of those star players or even be Keaton Wagler. I have that opportunity to be at a Big Ten school doing that, or still have to fight against like experienced players at mid majors. I don't understand how you would go to like a mid major in this situation because you're not going to be making good money as a freshman at a mid major. You're going to be making good money as a freshman at a Big Ten school. I have the opportunity to prove myself. So, like, the way that Brad's developing, I mean, like doing this roster construction with Neil Gonta is, hey, let's convince these developmental players to fill out the rest of our roster while we retain the majority of our elder players. And let's say someone becomes a Keaton Wagler or half of that, and you're in a pretty good spot as a freshman.
Love it. Love it. And that's why Blake is going to be the next Keaton
And that's
Wagler.
why I'm obviously you cannot pay 15 players
Yeah.
X millions of dollars in this. If you look at it like any other pro team, where why can't we make our entire 53-man roster starting players? Because you can't do that. You can't do that for 15 players on an NBA team. You can't do that for 15 players in college basketball anymore. You have to have the quote unquote cheap rookie contract guys like Xavier Zenz, and it's high upside, low risk. You feel like you've pinpointed this is your guy. We don't really care that he's 238th. We know what we're looking for. Same thing with Keaton. We don't give a shit what the recruiting ranking is. Not saying that this guy is going to be Keaton Wagler. He doesn't have to be Keaton Wagler to have the same to have an impact, but you have to be strategic. And in the past, you kind of didn't maybe have to be as strategic when guys back in the day, you weren't as likely to transfer and there wasn't NIL. It's like, let's just load up with as much talent as possible. Now you have to think about realistically, we can't retain every single person every single year. So we got to go top heavy and then build out with cheaper players and then rinse repeat year after year after year. And that's my 40 point
Basketball.
plan. That's my 40 point plan
Yeah.
for Illinois basketball.
Rinse, repeat, baby. Let's
Ho
go.
hum, ho hum, rinse,
But
repeat.
yeah, I mean, yeah, the point you guys made is so true, though, right? Like, you need to allocate your dollars so that the guys who are going to play the most minutes are going to get the most amount of money. And you can't just pay every guy 1 to 15 a ton of money. So it seems like we continue to be like a little bit ahead of the curve on some of this stuff. So going to continue to trust Brad, Neil Gonta, Larry Geese, Josh Whitman, all of the above. And it's shaping up to be another awesome year. I mean, it's so cool that we made the Final Four, and we're probably not going to fall off a cliff. We're going to have another really good season. So it's incredibly, incredibly exciting.
Yeah, and two last points I'll make about this is one, it's funny that I was complaining at the beginning of the episode about how like it's tough to move on from this team, and like it's so unfortunate for college coaches that they have to go from Final Four. Like the national championship ended, and the Michigan and UConn had to at midnight Eastern had to be in the portal starting to do their stuff, because I know that's when they began doing their portal research, is when the portal opened. But like they have to start, and we're 2 weeks later, and I know we made two comments about Brandon Lee and Jason. I'm not going to say his last name because I'm going to mispronounce it. Jaxtus. I think I did well there.
Nice. Offseason Josh is going to be a beast in the phonics department, in the phonetics department. He's summer with phonics right here for
But
Josh.
we're 2 weeks and 1 day later, and like I'm pretty sure like we're done. Like we're already done. Like at VSchool, I'm seeing commits going to Tennessee right now. Like Terrence Hill, who we played at VCU, he just committed to Tennessee. But like they're still figuring out their roster construction, and by and large part, our roster construction is done.
I was thinking about that, Josh. This has to be your favorite offseason ever, because Brad usually takes a little bit of time with it, and you're the type to be like, Brad, figure this out, okay?
Yeah,
Like,
what's nice with, and I don't know if it's nice or it's the reason why we lost in the first game of the Final Four, is like we didn't have, like you mentioned, that most of our players are 50 to 80 in the draft rankings. We didn't have anyone like 25 to 50, and so we didn't have anyone going through the draft process having to decide whether they're coming back, and us being able to be like, oh God, do we have to, like, are we going to potentially lose a player to the draft and not have a replacement? We already have that figured out.
yeah, that was fortunate. And that's why some people think the John Blackwell thing, maybe we've bowed out of, just because that one maybe is dragging on because he's got some draft intel and everything. But yeah, completely agree. It was nice to not have that challenge. I kind of am shocked by the Braylon Mullen news, and it's annoying, but I'm excited to, I think we play him at the United Center, so hopefully we can finally beat those guys.
Yeah, I'm scared of
Forgot
that
about that. I
already.
don't
I'm
want to.
pretty
I don't
scared.
want to. I'm tired of. I'm UConned out right now, guys. I don't want to play UConn anymore. No, I'm. We're not ending on a sour point here. I think
No, well,
the.
my husband, there's some parts of Illini Twitter this in these 2 weeks that have been extremely annoying. Everyone's saying that they know what's going on, know what's going on, and obviously that's just going to happen at every school. But it has been extremely funny with the hashtags, like the hashtag game of hashtag the retention, hashtag the meeting, hashtag the IPO has been very good comedy, and I the hashtag the IPO has been maybe my favorite one.
That's
Like it's
so good.
obviously there's no
So good.
relation to Illinois sports on that one, like, but it's just like, maybe we are going to get John Blackwell now because Larry Hiest went Madison Air go public.
That's so good. The hashtag game goes crazy. Shad Khan, by the way, buddy, if you did want to just kind of hop in on basketball, by all means, feel free to kind of
There's no
hop.
reason to say he's not in on basketball. We
Not enough, but
we're making assumptions. It's
is
Larry.
Shad Khan the Robert hates basketball, only cares about
Yeah,
football?
well, he just, yeah, I don't know. I feel like he plays more of a shadow role. Larry has obviously been very much so in the forefront, publicly, visually, and in the sidelines and the locker rooms for football and basketball. So if Shad did want to take a little bit more of an approach. The last point I was going to make is it does feel like these last few years, especially since the podcast, John, I know. When we lose, you kind of go on like the depressing. We talk about you go on like the depressing walk at the lake, and you're just kind of, it's cold out for another 8 weeks, and you're just miserable. This genuinely gets to be such a fun offseason and a fun summer where when I think about Illinois basketball, sure, there's that small part of me that's sad that we lost, that we made that trip to Indy, that we lost to a UConn team that we absolutely could have, should have, maybe would have beaten in a 7-game series. But there's no tears in looking back on the season now. It's every time I think about Illinois basketball now, I genuinely get excited. I can't believe it's only mid-April. We have like 5, 6 months until basketball starts. I'm genuinely so excited. It's very rare for your team to lose the last game it plays in a season and for you to have this level of joy and enthusiasm and excitement about the next season. And that gets me juiced up.
Yeah, we have to soak this offseason up because it's just great. That point that you made is incredible, where almost every team is just so upset after the season because they lost. And we lost, and we still accomplished something awesome and something to build off of. So, yeah, it's going to be, both a long offseason because I want to see these guys play again, but also a short offseason because, yeah, it's fun. And we get to just be like, hey, I know it's coming and I know it's in our future. But right now, we just get to enjoy the fact that we were a Final Four program this year.
Yeah. You get to say that all summer. We went to the Final Four. Until the season starts and there's a new Final Four, you don't get – that doesn't get to get taken away from you. You get to wear your T-shirt and merch and everything and talk Illinois hoops. So unimpeachable, as Johnny likes to say.
Yes.
Awesome. Have an awesome summer, fellas. Maybe we'll do a couple episodes here in the off season, just kind of – again, since we're so excited, maybe, I'm sure we'll find – guys, clearly we'll find stuff to talk about here the summer and the offseason. Maybe we'll do a little football talk maybe in the summer, dare I say. Caden Hauser looking good in spring ball. I'm gonna, everyone's looking good in spring
in
ball.
In this house, sir. In our the middle house, of champagne.
In our, the middle our of Hauser champagne. Our Hauser. Hauser. There we go, yeah.
In the middle of champagne.
That's great stuff. It's great stuff. All right, awesome, boys. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Boardroom. We will catch you on the next one. ILL.